your best. Good morning, Penguin Radio. This is Beto, and you are listening to 49ers Live. It is kind of a gloomy day here in San Rafael right now, but that doesn't matter because we're here to talk about the San Francisco 49ers this week, coming off an impressive win against the Tennessee Titans. And I have a full report of that game and a full report of everything that's happening in the 49ers organization. As of now, the 49ers have improved to 5-2 from a 4-2 record, and things keep looking like they are getting better and better for the team. Almost halfway through the season, and it looks like they're giving the Seattle Seahawks a good fight for the division in the NFC West as of now. But getting back to this week's game against the Tennessee Titans, no one would really argue that the Tennessee Titans are one of the better teams in football this season. And they have had some impressive wins over the Pittsburgh Steelers, San Diego Chargers, and New York Jets. And last week, they did have a narrow enough loss on the road to the Seattle Seahawks, and it kind of gave them some confidence in the fan base. With the Texans and the Colts just one game ahead, and the Texans were actually one game below. The Colts were one game ahead, the Titans, through six games. But the Titans were coming into this game looking like they could win their division and have a playoff appearance as well as the 49ers. The 49ers entered this game as favorites, even though they were on the road. And it wasn't a huge surprise to see that, because the 49ers have been playing well and they have been improving. And they were coming off of three consecutive wins before this game against decent teams, especially the Texans and the Rams. But the impressive thing about the three consecutive wins were two of them were against the Rams and the Cardinals, which sets a tone for the NFC West that 49ers can beat their own division, which is a very good thing to have going into each week. So this game, they got off to a slow start in this game, but things kept getting better and better. And it looks like the 49ers really can keep winning games, and they can keep getting better. They can keep consecutive winning streaks. They can win on the road. Nothing looked bad this week for the 49ers. After suffering back-to-back losses in week 2 and 3, the 49ers have reeled off three straight double-digit wins. Offensively, the running game has been outstanding. Frank Gore averaged 112 yards rushing per game over the stretch, and the 49ers averaged 182 yards as a team. The rushing attack masked uneven play by quarterback Colin Kaepernick, though he played well in the win against the Arizona Cardinals the week before this Tennessee Titan game, going 16 for 29, passing for 252 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception that was tipped. So, coming into this Tennessee Titans game, things looked good. Colin Kaepernick is coming into his game. He's showing us that he can be the quarterback he was last season that led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. And coming into this game, the 49ers defense has also forced 13 turnovers on the season, and the unit's pass and run stopping capabilities both best the Titans on per attempt basis. The 49ers have been good with forcing fumbles and interceptions, and it looks like the 49ers defense and the offense are clicking on the field out there, and it looks nice. For the Titans, are second in the NFL with a +8 turnover differential on the season. A defense that lacked big names heading into the season has become one of the league's best under Jerry Gray. The team has forced 13 turnovers, and several players have emerged as budding stars. And Vernier, who has forced four interceptions already this season for the Titans. So the Titans look like a worthy opponent this week against the 49ers. And so going into the game, the 49ers did start off a little slow in the first quarter. Nothing. They did score, though, with a field goal, a 44-yard field goal by Phil Dawson. And that started the game off well for the team. And then later in the second quarter, Kaepernick ran for a 20-yard run for a touchdown, and that made it 10-0 49ers. And so at this point, it really looked like the 49ers were in control of the game, scoring the first touchdown on the road, taking the crowd out of the game, making it seem like the 49ers had the momentum. And after that, Frank Gore scored a 1-yard touchdown, had a 1-yard touchdown run, and that made it 17-0 49ers. So I don't think anybody was expecting it to be this much of a lopsided game by halftime. The 49ers looked like they were in total control. The defense was forcing the Titans for some three and outs, forcing them to punt the ball. It looked like the Titans couldn't get any momentum going, couldn't score in the first half. So it was 17-0 49ers going into the second half. So after that, again, Frank Gore scores, and the 49ers go up 24-0. So at this point, they were just making the points, racking up the points, doing very well. The Titans later score a field goal, a 31-yard field goal, making it 24-3 in the fourth quarter. But by this time, it looked like the 49ers were going to come out victorious in this game. Later, Chris Johnson had a 66-yard pass from quarterback Locker, which made it 24-10. So the Titans had some momentum at this point. But then after that, it did not look good for them because Osgood had a fumble recovery in the end zone, which made it 31-10 49ers. So this completely took the Titans out of it from any, you know, amazing comeback. And it looked like the game was completely over. The Titans did score one more touchdown to make the final score 31-17 in the game. But once it was 24-10 and the 49ers got that last touchdown, this game looked like it was pretty much over. So the 49ers do come out with this win, improving to 5-2 in the season. And the Titans fall to 3-4. They were coming into this game 3-3, 49ers 4-2. So it looked like it was a pretty evenly matchup. And when I look at the stats in this game, it just looks like the 49ers did have control for most of it. First downs, 49ers 19 to the Titans 15. Passing yards, the Titans did have more passing yards, but rushing yards, it was 153 to 70. The 49ers really played that run game well. And return yardage, so the Titans did have, they did beat the 49ers in return yardage, but another big indicator that the Titans didn't, why they didn't do as well in this game, would be the time of possession. The 49ers did have the ball for a lot longer, and also a turnover is huge in a game. The Titans gave up the ball once on that fumble there, and also giving up an interception that I'll talk about when I go into depth into this game. But so far, coming off of this road win for the 49ers, it looks really good going into London next week against the Jags. The 49ers, it's huge to be able to win on the road. A team can't just be good at home. They have to be able to go into a city, set the tone, and come out victorious, and that's really what they did this week. Kaepernick played well, and it looked really good out there. When we come back here, I will be talking about how the 49ers can improve, what needs to happen for them to improve, going into player analysis in this game, giving out some grades, who did well, who didn't, what happened with some drives. And yeah, I will be back here shortly talking more about this game. You're listening to 49ers Live with BDL at radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back here shortly. When I meet you around the corner, oh, I said, baby, never let me be a loner. And then you hold me tight, you make me feel alright. Yes, when you hold me tight, you make me feel alright. Oh, can't you see? Don't you believe me? Oh, darling, darling, I'm calling, calling. Can't you see? Why won't you believe me? Oh, darling, darling, I'm calling, calling. Satisfy my soul.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong. Like a rock, I was 18, didn't have a care. Working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere, like a rock. My hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firm.
I am back here at 49ers Live, bdlradio.dominican.edu, talking about last Sunday's great win against the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. So I wanted to go into some player analysis of this game, how well each player did on both sides of the ball. The 49ers starting quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, has a great dual threat ability, and he had 267 all-purpose yards and a touchdown in this game, and it looked pretty good out there. He went 13 for 21 for 199 yards with no passing touchdowns or interceptions, which was impressive, but not overly impressive. There's still some ways, obviously, he can improve by throwing some touchdowns, obviously, in the game. But it was obviously effective because they did come out with the win. And as for the game plan, it was simple, but they kept moving the ball through the air and grinding it out in the red zone. A criticism I had from last week was that when the 49ers had opportunities in the red zone in the early start of last week's game, they were coming out with field goals and not touchdowns when they had an interception recovery and they were put in the red zone. It's like when you're facing tougher teams than the Arizona Cardinals, you want to, you know, really score in those situations when you really need it. And so the 49ers looked good inside the red zone this week. And according to ESPN, Kaepernick's 99.0 total quarterback rating was the best by any quarterback this season. That's pretty amazing considering Peyton Manning has been shredding a different defense every week. San Francisco's kangaroo-like passer completed over 60% of his throws and kept this offensive unit in forward motion from the first quarter to the last. And it was a vintage performance by Cap, throwing and running the football. If he continues to keep doing this in every game this season for the rest of the season, I think that it will look good for the team having him be able to run and pass the ball. He's kind of a very big threat when you have a quarterback that can run in clutch situations for your team. But for going to the running game, Frank Gore looks very good. 24 attempts for 70 yards and a pair of red zone scores on Sunday. His longest run was 7 yards, so it was not great, but Gore got the yards the team had to have, which has been what he's been known for throughout his career, getting the yards in games for the team to win. So I think the running game looks good on Frank Gore's part. He looks like he can be a threat in games this season. Going to Kendall Hunter, who had only 4 carries but still only squeezed out 1.5 yards per carry average, which is not like him. He had a long of 5 yards while the rest of his attempts were stuffed. Not a great game for him, but he is bound to come back later in the season. I think that he has the potential to, you know, do well on the run. Anthony Dixon, the 49ers' third string running back, only had 1 carry on the day, but he made it count, rushing for 8 yards. He looks like he could be a player that could be a value and could be a threat in later games this season. But for the running game, I think that looks solid for the 49ers. It looks like that part of the ball for the offense looks good. On another note, for the tight end position, Vernon Davis did not break the century mark or find the end zone this week, but when you saw his contributions to the team and how timely and consistent they were throughout, it was clear to see why the 49ers star and tight end earns a top grade. He made the offense continue on drives, not having to turn over the ball to the Titans. He's made the passing offense go, and he has been very clutch in situations. I think he is the key player to this team this season. Vernon Davis, San Francisco hero right now. Vince McDonald, which is showing, he's showing signs of progress. He finished with one grab. It went for 20 yards. The rookie has an impressive potential and can be a star pass catcher in this offense. So McDonald and Davis, Vance McDonald, they look good on the tight end position. Anquan Boldin, even though he only accounted for 74 yards, this will be one of his good games. There's no way to say anything about his performance because other than that he was in the zone, because he had a 14.8 average off of 5 catches. So a decent game for Boldin. And that's another key player for the 49ers offense. For the offensive line, Joe Staley, this is the guy to go to on the 49ers offensive line. He did a really good job this week of protecting his quarterback and really helped Frank Gore in the running game this week. He brings that veteran experience to the offensive line and has been valuable and dependable on a week-to-week basis. Kaepernick was sacked twice in this game, but I would not say it was because of Joe Staley's performance. It wasn't a missed block by him. Jonathan Goodwin, coming back from a flu that kept him out of practices this week, still managed to step it up in the lineup and do well up the middle. The Niners wanted to pound it up the middle, and Goodwin allowed them to do that. He is smart, and he's improving the team to be able to run the ball, allowing the 49ers to run it up the middle. Anthony Davis, Cap took a sack from the left side of the Tennessee defensive front, which means someone got around Davis who wasn't supposed to. So that's a little note on Anthony Davis. Still not a bad outing by Davis, who continues to build on his start in the NFL. He has benefits of towering right tackle and has techniques and has good technique and plays with a chip on his shoulder. So Anthony Davis, decent outing by him. Going to Alex Bowen, he did well this week, helping the 49ers to become a threat on the ground and pound the team in the football. He is at the right guard spot and has continued to hammer the opposing team for the 49ers to continue their run game to be effective. So on the offensive line, that looks good. Played well this week, allowing the 49ers to run the ball and do well on offense. On the defensive tackle side of the ball, Justin Smith, he played very well this week. The Titans received a lot of Justin Smith. In the absence of Aldon Smith, the longtime bad boy of the NFL, meant that Justin Smith needed to step up this week, and he did that on the defensive side of the ball. Glenn Dorsey's job is not about tackles, but is keeping the play in front of him at all costs and allowing the linebackers to flood the gaps that he creates for them. He's not 100% right now, still hurting from a hamstring injury, but he was in good form against the Titans. The starting nose tackle allowed Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman to engage the run, making it fairly easy for them to operate in the box. Going to Ray McDonald is another one of those players who does not get enough credit because he does not lighten up the box. He does light up the box score. He helped set the edge as well as knock the pocket back. He is also hurting from an injury though as well. So the 49ers team right now does not look the healthiest, but it looks like they are keeping it going though, keeping that play tough win mentality. And for Patrick Willis, very rarely is he the tackle leader when he and Bowen are both playing on the field at the same time. But the five-time All-Pro went total great mode this Sunday, busting up players that all over the field. He had 8 tackles and an assist. So Patrick Willis, he's been a great linebacker, great part of the team. Ahmad Brooks, left outside linebacker, is another one of those players in this four-man corps who really has completed some good games. He did not rack up a lot of tackles this week because Bowen and Willis did, but he had tipped a pass and had a sack this week, so he looks good on the 49ers as a 49er linebacker. Moving on here to cornerback position, Tremaine Brock. Why is San Francisco's third cornerback always such a clutch player on the field? It's looked like that. Well, he racked up his third interception, which is tied for a team high and second in the league for cornerbacks. So I really wanted to touch on Tremaine Brock. He's coming up big this season. And Terrell Brown, as one of San Francisco's 2 starting corners, he put forth a solid effort but was flagged again, which is becoming a 49er habit for him. He also got into a tussle with Titans wideout Kenny Britt. So that was a little side note to the game, that there was a little tiff going on. And so the Titans wide receivers did not have much production as a unit, so it looked good that from the 49ers defensive side that they were preventing that from happening. I mean, the Titans didn't even score in the first half, so it looked like the 49ers defense was really living up to the NFL's expectations of them. Going to the safety position, Dante Whitner had a good showing, and he had to leave the game late with a knee injury. He had 3 solo tackles and he had a good outing. For Eric Reed, he's always in the middle of the action, but his performance was not as good as it was in past weeks. He collected 2 tackles and 2 assists, but no interceptions, forced fumbles, or recoveries to add to his total so far. His tackles were good and solid, though. And the 49ers defense, like I said, is looking good. So this, nothing really bad to say about the offensive or defensive side of this game. Andy Lee is a great punter. On Sunday, he had 2 punt on 6 occasions and maintained a 43.5 average. And even punting inside the 20-yard line 3 times, he had also a long punt of 58 yards. So on Andy Lee, that's looking very good for the team. And then Phil Dawson was 1 for 1 on field goals, crushing a 44-yarder. So on special teams, that's looking nice. Nothing should go wrong on special teams. That's extremely important to have. So special teams look good. And so going into in-depth player analysis this week, it looked as though the 49ers were clicking as a unit. And so many people have been saying, why all of a sudden now? What's going on with this 49er team? Why all of a sudden are they clicking on both sides of the ball? Why have they won 4 consecutive games? And it looks like they're back to playing that hardball football, that physical football that wins games for them. They're able to run the ball and come out with clutch first downs and able to take teams out of the game early, like they did this week against the Titans on the road, taking them out of the game early. A 17-0 lead at halftime was huge. Having that 24-0 lead pretty much set the win for them. So there's always improvements, though, that need to happen. The 49ers don't blitz that much. And they need more, I would say, explosive play from receivers. It looks like they could use a receiver that could come up with that explosive play other than Vernon Davis. But Aldon Smith is not there on defense, going to the defensive side. But on injury reports, Crabtree will be back soon. And that will be a really big, impressive addition to the team for them to keep improving. When I come back, I'll be talking more 49ers. I went over in-depth player analysis this week. I'm happy to say that everything is looking good. And I think that the Jags next week will be most likely a win. I don't want to be too confident, but the Jags are 0-7 and have not won a game yet. So that will be played in London, and I will go into some in-depth coverage of that game next week. But when I come back, I'll also be talking about the new stadium in Santa Clara, the Candlestick Park farewell, and some injury reports from the 49ers. And so I will be back here shortly. You're listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu, and I'll be back here shortly. We'll be right back.
and I will feel all right.
Say it.
Let's get together and feel all right.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let them pass all their dirty remarks.
One love.
There is one question I'd really love to ask.
One heart.
Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has hurt all mankind? Just to save his own beliefs.
One love.
What about a one heart?
One heart.
What about a
let's get together and feel alright.
As it was in the beginning.
One love.
So shall it be in the end.
One heart.
Alright.
Let's embrace to the Lord.
And I will
feel alright. Let's get together and feel alright.
One more thing. Let's get together to fight this holy Armageddon.
One love.
So when the man comes, there will be no doom.
One song.
Have pity on those whose chances grow thin. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah.
One love.
What about the one?
One heart.
What about the
let's get together and feel alright?
I'm fleeing to mankind.
One love.
I'm back here at 49ers Live, bdelfradio.dominican.edu. And so like I said before the break, the 49ers are playing in London next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have not won a game this season, who are 0-7. So that looks like it will be a win for the 49ers. But I wanted to talk about 49ers future opponents that have been, that look like they have some injuries going on their side of the, and injuries happen all the time, but week 7 did not look good for the NFL. There are reports several season-ending injuries, including Reggie Wayne, Brian Cushing, and Doug Martin, and quarterback Sam Bradford. The first two are past opponents, but Martin and Bradford are of note, given the 49ers' upcoming slate of games. The 49ers will face the St. Louis Rams on December 1st, and Bradford has shown some signs at the season, but the Rams have been incredibly inconsistent. So that's a future note for the 49er-Ram game. The 49ers will also face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on December 15th. Losing Doug Martin is a slightly bigger deal for the Bucs. Their season has been a train wreck, but he's still the most talented player on that team. So Brian Leonard is their primary backup as well, and Mike James will probably also get some work. The Bucs have fallen apart, and I think the odds are that the Bucs will not look too impressive against the 49ers on December 15th. So I just wanted to talk about how there are some injuries for the 49ers' future opponents this season. And the 49ers Santa Clara Stadium has been deemed as safe after a worker's death. Last week I talked about this a little bit, how it seems like there has been some miscommunication on the construction site, as this is the second death that has occurred at the new Santa Clara Stadium. And the truck driver who was killed Monday morning has been identified as from the examiners as a 60-year-old man from Vacaville. And so he was just killed on site, and it was looked at as a huge surprise. And like I was saying before, it looks like there is some miscommunication on the site, and that's unfortunate that that happened. But the Santa Clara Stadium is more than halfway done, and is looking very nice. The 68,000 stadium is a great new addition for the 49er team, and it looks like the 49ers will have the Super Bowl there and the college championship there. And I think it will just bring a lot of spirit to San Francisco, even though the team won't be playing there anymore. When the Giants moved to AT&T, it really set a new spirit for the team. And since they've moved to AT&T in the last 13 years, they have brought two world championships. So hopefully the 49ers can do that as well. Going to the farewell season of Candlestick Park, there are only four more games to be played at Candlestick this season, unless the 49ers do move on to the playoffs, which will happen most likely. And Candlestick Park opened on April 12th, 1960, and for the San Francisco Giants, and the 49ers had their first season there in 1971. And Vice President Richard Nixon actually threw out the first pitch as a historical fact. The park was designed in a boomerang shell, and it was designed to protect the park from cold and wind. It did not work. Till this day, the 49ers Candlestick Park is still freezing all the time, and it's on an 82-acre site, so it's a lot of land that's just going to be blown up. So all good things must come to an end. It's the second oldest concrete stadium in the NFL, and there has been a lot of history played there. But it's good that the 49ers are moving on to Santa Clara. It's time. The Candlestick Park just keeps getting deemed as worse and worse as years progress, and there's really nothing good, I would say, that comes from the park. But the sad part is that the 49ers won't be playing in the city of San Francisco anymore, but the Giants and the Jets don't play in New York, so 49ers won't be the only team that's not playing in their respective city. And going back to the 49ers opponent next week, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Frank Gore actually came out and said in a report that the 49ers can't look past Jacksonville, even though they're 0-7. They do have some key players that can come out and play well in this game. And I think that Frank Gore was touching on that they're already looking past it. Some players are already looking past the Jaguars and moving on to opponents like the Seattle Seahawks, which is still the game to look forward to this season. Speaking of the Seattle Seahawks, they did win against the Arizona Cardinals this week, so they do have sole possession over the NFC West. And they're only one game ahead of the 49ers, so that's still a deficit that can be easily changed. So the 49ers are playing the Jags next week in London, which will be fun that they're going over there. But as a team, Frank Gore said, as a team, we've got to know it's still a business trip and we're there for a game, even though it's in this great city. We can't look at their record. Just because they're 0-7 doesn't mean they can't have their first win of the season. So it looks like the 49ers aren't looking completely past the Jacksonville Jaguars. As for other opponents in the 49ers' view this season, there are some solid teams like the New Orleans Saints, who look pretty good this season. The 49ers have them on the road. But what I love is that the 49ers, it looks like they can't, like, I love this win this week against the Titans, going into Tennessee, taking the tone of the game. It really looks good. Like, the offense and the defense are clicking. It looks good. So I'm excited. I have confidence in the team. Like, finally, I'm really excited that they can, you know, go into New Orleans and win that game, potentially. They can beat the Seahawks, who are deemed as one of the best this season. So that's really exciting to see. Frank Gore does look like he can be a leader on this team and control the ball and can run for 100 plus yards in a game. It looks like Vernon Davis can carry the offense and score multiple touchdowns in a game. Kaepernick looks like he's clicking with his receivers. So it looks good. And when I come back from my last break, I will be wrapping up things here, talking about some injuries on the 49ers side, who's returning, who's out, what's going on with that. And you are listening to Penguin Radio, 49ers Live, BDAL at radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back here shortly. I'm back here at 49ers Live at radio.dominican.edu, BDL. And so I'm talking about the injury report for the 49ers. Linebacker Ahmad Brooks, who is dealing with a personal matter. He missed the past 2 days of practice, but is expected to play on Sunday. Receiver Chris Harper was claimed off waivers from Green Bay. The 49ers cut him Thursday. He was originally cut by Seattle in August after being a fourth round pick. The 49ers likely would have put Harper on the practice squad. So that's over with. Going to raved up Mario Manningham worked in practice and said Manningham will be activated soon, which is a very big asset to the team. 49ers tackle Anthony Davis was fined $15,000 for an illegal clip against the Cardinals. That's also of note. Receiver John Baldwin is questionable with an illness that has been bothering him, and Ray McDonald and Justin Smith are also questionable but are likely to be playing. as the season progresses, and against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So injuries are taking out the team a little bit. But a big addition to the team would be the return of Crabtree, which should be his return should be soon, which Crabtree is a huge part of the offense, a huge star. So the 49ers are really, really looking to get him back. And it looked like the injuries in the early part of the season were taking the 49ers out of their game a little bit, especially when Davis was out in the earlier part of the season, when the 49ers did have their two losses in a row to the Colts and to the Seahawks. Some people were blaming Kaepernick. Why isn't he producing anything on offense? In those two games, he only scored 10 points. And since Davis is back, things have been looking a lot better. The 49ers have scored over 30 points in all their wins. So it looks like Kaepernick, you know, he does have the potential to put up a lot of numbers on the scoreboard in a game. He does have that ability to run the ball and score with his legs. He does have his arm to be able to throw to assets like the return of Crabtree and Davis. So Kaepernick, overall, good quarterback, can lead the team to another Super Bowl appearance and win the season. So I'm excited for that. And on the other side of things, the 49ers look like they could win the NFC West and could beat the Seattle Seahawks in their meeting. But it also looks like they could clinch a wild card spot as well. So it's an exciting time for San Francisco. And it looks like the team is on good ground. I'm going to take one more short break and come back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu, 49ers Live, Beto.
Friend, I'm gonna be your friend. In high
Magnum at Angelico Hall. Performances include killer music, rap, poetry, and dance. Global Ambassadors are located at the lawn between Guzman and Angelico from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. And Soul Candy starts at 7 in Angelico. Don't miss out on this knockout event. To finish up things here at 49ers Live, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. It's Vito, by the way. And it was a great win for the 49ers against the Tennessee Titans. Everything looked good, scoring 31 points, defense only allowing 17 points. 49ers move on to next week in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have not won a game this season. So hopefully I'll be back here next week talking about the 6-2 49ers and going into even more in-depth analysis on the midway point of the season, who's injured, who will be playing, who's out, who's in, what's going on with that. So a very exciting time for this 49ers organization. Things look like they're clicking. Four consecutive wins since that Indianapolis Colts game. It just looks like a completely different team out there. And I'm excited to keep watching the season progress and to keep Kaepernick in that starting quarterback position and seeing him thrive and take the team to win after win. So that wraps things up here at 49ers Live. Thank you so much to the listeners for tuning in week after week. I love doing this. I love being able to talk about the best team in the NFL for an hour every week. It is the highlight of my week. And I will be back here, like I said, next same time, same day, Tuesday, 11 a.m. And thanks again. That is a wrap here at 49ers Live, radio.dominican.edu, DJ Beadle. That is it. Thank you. Forget your sorrows and days. Forget your troubles and days. Forget your sickness and days. Forget your weakness.